You're listening to the Dr. Laura Show podcast for Friday, January 18th. This is Hour 2.
Dr. Laura is on right now.
Take a coin, heads you do it, tails you don't. Flip it up in the air. And the person, by the time it hits your hand, the desk, or the floor, has decided which they hope it is. Basically, people do know what their decision is. But fear and guilt, who's going to be pissy, stops them. You got to think of yourself into the future. I know a lot of people are into just deal with the moment. But sometimes I think it's very useful to zap yourself into the future a year from now, looking back at today. What do you hope you'll see you do? That takes us out of the fear and guilt, because then it's just a retrospect on your own life. Not worrying about who's going to be pleased, not worrying about if you'll fail or succeed. Just looking back in a year, what would make you proud to see you do, to make the choice? That's probably the easiest way. I'm not. Excuse me. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger, and I welcome you to this hour of the program right here on Sirius XM Triumph 111. You are here with Dan and Mallory, screening your calls. The amazing Carson Smith, engineering, orchestrating our music, and producing the segues, and me. Well, you can chat with me about whatever is frustrating you. 1-800-DR-LAURA, 1-800-375-2872. I watched a movie last night that got bad reviews. I watched it anyway. I like to make up my own mind. I think it was on Fandango. It was called Hunter Killer, which was the name of a submarine, an American submarine. I don't want to give the story away just in case you guys want to see it. After I watched it, I realized it was intense. It made me, oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh my God, what's going to happen? Oh my God, what's going to happen? Which very few movies can grip you that way into worrying. Even though you know, at the end of this, it's probably going to be okay. But somehow that doesn't stay in your mind because the stress at the moment is great. And there are aspects of it which were, you know, probably highly unlikely. And there was a turn at the end which was highly unlikely, but I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if people could have that loyalty and that trust and respond in that way? Wouldn't it be nice? So I felt very satisfied at the end of the movie. Not all the acting was great. I mean, you could tease it apart, but that's not why I watch a movie. So if you like action, even if some of it is going to be a little outrageous, and even if you think it's highly unlikely, and you'll know what I'm talking about at the end if you watch it, I would like to think that there could be, as I said, that kind of trust and loyalty. Made me feel good to think there might be, especially looking at the state of our country right now. It's so disheartening. So it was nice. Ironically, it was about America and Russia. Nonetheless, Hunter Killer, it was the type of submarine. Anyway, I found it entertaining and I found it satisfying, even though some of it made no sense. I don't need everything to be perfect. My number, 1-800-375-2872. I especially want to hear from you today if you've just kind of given up on a situation because you just think there is no fix. You may be right, but why don't you give me a shot at it? So if you're in the middle of something and you think probably there is no fix or the fix is too difficult for you to imagine doing, too scary, let's look at it. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're not. My number, 1-800-375-2872. Hannah, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Lawrence. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's an honor to speak
with
you.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. What's happening?
I am my husband's girlfriend and my children's mother, so thank you again for all of your guidance.
Excellent.
I am dealing in a few days with my fourth upcoming surgery within the past year. And
what?
I'm struggling my fourth.
What's broken? What's broken?
My jaw. My jaw has been broken because of a reaction I had in a dental chair. I had an allergic reaction to a Novocaine that was administered to me. And unfortunately, I decided to stand up to get help. And that's the last thing I remember as my face hit the ground. I lost 7 teeth, broke my jaw in 3 places, and have consequently been trying to put myself back together.
Well,
I'm struggling mentally.
It's not impacting your speech at this point.
No, it's not. But I'm very hungry, and it's impacting me mentally and financially. This has been a burden for our family.
Well,
I'm a stay-at-home
isn't this
mother
lawsuit,
with 3 children.
Isn't this malpractice lawsuit territory?
It's in the process, but I'm just trying right now to get myself together for what I'm looking forward, moving forward, the procedures that are going to have to put me back together until that's settled. And I'm struggling. I'm terrified.
Of course you are. Oh, terrified of what?
To go back into these buildings where initially, I'm not going to the same doctor, but this type of environment where I had this accident is where I'm having to go to get fixed. Oral surgeons, dentists, and I'm scared every time I walk in.
Okay. That's easily fixed. Seriously. If I had you in my office right now, in 20 minutes, this would be fixed. You use hypnotherapy.
Okay.
For example, so you might want to find a therapist who works with hypnotherapy because, okay, somebody not as good as me might take 30 minutes. But anyway, it's readily fixable. So what they do basically is get you very, very relaxed. You know, I can't do it on the air because if I do it and somebody gets too relaxed and they're driving a car, they can run into an abutment. So basically, they get you very relaxed, you know, could be with music, just with words. I just used words when I was in practice. And once you get very, very relaxed, we ask you to go to the place that's making you terrified. And you can actually watch somebody. I mean, fists start forming, face starts contorting, the breathing gets heavy, and you can tell they're walking into the building that's upsetting them.
Okay.
Then you have them leave the building and relax. Then you have them go to a place that's wonderful. And you watch the body relax, and the face looks serene, and the person is breathing nice and slow, and it's very nice. You go back and forth a few times, and then you start having the person be in the terrible building and then shift over to the beautiful thought that they pick, by the way, could be anything. Their kid's face, mm-hmm. their sunshine, could be anything. So that the mind now has a place to go. Then you give the person the request to do something to switch over. I remember when I was the night before getting somebody to get on an airplane, I had her pinky finger had to go up. The ring finger, whoop, had to go up. And when it went up, her fear of crashing in the plane disappeared as she went to the beach in Hawaii. And I was on that plane So every now and then I saw her finger go up. It was kind of cute. And when she got off the plane, she was fine. So what I'm trying and it took a half an hour.
Okay.
So all I'm saying is we can fix that quickly.
Okay.
There's no reason you have to suffer like that. It's understandable. Okay. I think I would feel the exact same way. What you went through is off the trauma chart.
I feel like I'm the only one. I feel like when I tell the surgeon and the dentist that I'm afraid, they think I'm crazy.
No, they don't think you're crazy. They've seen people in trauma. It's just that most physicians don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right.
Well, let me tell you what happened to me. Not even a percent of what happened to you. I was getting a tooth removed so they could put, a post in.
Yes.
And I forgot to tell them that I can't take epinephrine. Mm. So again, the topical, I don't know what they use, but the topical had epinephrine in it because it minimizes bleeding because it takes the little and shuts them down so you don't bleed. But I go into palpitations immediately. My heart races. It doesn't take much. For some reason, I'm sensitive to it. So I start screaming. I remember this part. Oh, my God, something's wrong. Get me back. Get me back. Get me out of here. I want to go home. I'm screaming. Well, the nurse was right there with probably Valium, stuck it in the tube that went right into my arm. And the next thing I remember is, you can go home now.
Mm.
So I've sort of been there, but I didn't stand up and fall down.
That was the worst decision I ever made. Yeah.
Well, I was so terrified I couldn't move. It felt,
yeah.
I mean, your heart's racing, you get real scared. So I have had a similar moment.
Yes.
But you had the misfortune of being able to get up.
Yes.
I don't think I could have gotten up. They had me leaning backwards in that seat, so your knees are about the same height as your boobs, that kind of thing. So I understand your fear. Now, anytime I go near a dentist or anything, I had my finger cut. I said, make sure there's no epinephrine in what you're going to inject into my finger.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And they reach for something else. So I always have to tell people because I don't want to go through that again. So
yes.
If you speak up, I will have a panic attack if such and such happens.
Mm.
You have to be proactive in telling people. And I don't want you to feel stupid, weak, or bad. It's quite normal.
I do. I feel very weak.
Well, you're going to have to stop that. I don't feel weak that I can't take epinephrine and I'll have a panic attack. I don't feel weak about it.
I feel out of control.
You are out of control. That's what a panic attack is. Duh. That's the definition of the panic attack. You feel totally out of control, and you are. Your head explodes.
Yeah.
It's an identifiable syndrome. It has nothing to do with your character, your intelligence, your strength, nothing. Zero. Zero. That's the first thing you have to stop doing, is telling yourself that lie. That's a ridiculous lie, that you're weak. No, you're having a panic attack. You want to see me do the same thing you? Just walk by me with a little jar that says epinephrine. You'll watch me go, oh, geez.
Well, I always try to think in confusing or scary situations, what would Dr. Laura do? Now we have epinephrine in common. So
Yes, we have epinephrine in common. They probably never put Valium in a tube that fast in her entire career. Because I was screaming in terror.
Yes, I know that feeling.
Yeah, and then I was out.
Yeah.
So that works. I'm not a physician. I cannot prescribe any medicine, but I would tell you to go to your primary physician, unless you tend to be an addict and overwork drugs, to get some, for example, like Valium, cut them in half. And when you have to go in for one of these things, do the hypnosis thing and take half a Valium. I'm not, okay, I'm not an MD. I'm just asking you to talk to your main doctor about whether or not he or she thinks it's a good idea. But that's another option, not a whole one. It might knock you out.
Yeah, I don't like taking even Advil, so I'm going to definitely take your advice and start with the hypnotherapy and see how much.
Well, Advil can hurt your tummy, possibly, but half a Valium won't hurt your tummy, so it'll just get cut off the edge a little bit.
Yeah,
this is normal, sweetheart. Yeah. Please don't be tough on yourself. I'd be in the room with you. We'd both be going through the same thing.
Well, that makes me feel better more than you know. Thank you.
It's just what it is, and you have to just accept it and be prepared.
That is the hard part, accepting it and being prepared.
Yeah, well, just accept it. I mean, I've accepted it. If I'm in that circumstance with that happening, it's not going to be good. I accept it, so I make sure I'm not in that situation.
I understand.
You're okay. You're fine. You have to go through another stupid surgery. We'll get through this. Hopefully we'll be done with it. And that's it.
I hope so.
But you sound great.
Thank you. If I could only have a steak, I'd feel better.
I don't eat steaks anyway. Come on.
It's going to be a while.
Every meat now and then. Well, you can always puree it.
I don't think that would be very good to have a pureed steak.
Take a filet mignon and puree it and see what turn it into a smoothie.
A steak smoothie. thank you, Dr. Laura. I appreciate your help today.
Welcome. You feel okay now?
I feel better. I'll be okay when I'm done with everything, but I feel better. Thank you.
Good. You're very welcome. My number, 1-800-375-2872. We'll be right back.
Dr. Laura.
I was pregnant with my second child, and I went home and I said to my husband, figure something out because I'm not going back to work when the second baby is born.
Do the right thing.
That was such a gift, so thank you for
Excellent.
That.
This is the Dr. Laura program.
You just call out my name.
Dr. Laura Schlesinger, my number, 1-800-375-2872. Life is way too short to spend a single moment of it being uncomfortable. So when it comes to something you wear every day, you know, like your underwear, why settle for anything less than Tommy John? Tommy John has the most comfortable men's and women's underwear on the planet, keeping men neat and women panty line free. Both their men's and women's underwear are made of fabrics that are luxuriously soft, comfortable stay-put waistbands, no wedgie guarantee. Tommy John is so confident in their underwear that if you don't love your first pair, you can get a full refund with their best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Before you spend another dime on multi-pack underwear, remember Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Be sure to use the code Dr. Laura at TommyJohn.com now to save 20% on your first order. That's 20% off at TommyJohn.com when you remember to use the code Dr. Laura. TommyJohn.com. Okay, let us. Sherelle, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Laura. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener.
Thank you. What can I help you with?
Stay or go. I have a history of series of events that have brought me to this call today. And I'm in a home with my ex-spouse and one adult child and a grandchild. And I'm at the impasse now, and I need to determine whether I need to stay or go. I've financially supported the family for the last 20 years, lost my job and then regained employment, and got divorced last year.
I'm sorry, did I understand you that you're divorced, but he's living in the house with you? And your kid is an adult, but the kid's in the house with you, with their kid.
Yes, correct.
How is it that nobody else besides you is competent?
I ask myself that each and every day.
Well, give me an answer. No, make it your best shot. Give me your best shot. I mean, you picked him and you raised her, so that's a hint.
I guess I've enabled them all, you know, by being the breadwinner, the primary breadwinner. I guess I've just enabled everyone, and they feel that they don't need to leave or need to go or need to make an adult decision. And I'm in an impasse. And because
you're willing to give up your godlike role or not? Don't answer that quickly. Well, then that's your answer.
But we're not getting along in the household, and it's a toxic situation. And
no, it doesn't have to be. Just walk around and don't argue with anybody and be nice and spend more time by yourself. But if you don't want to give up your godlike position, there's a price you pay for everything. I mean, if you want peace and go off by yourself, you're not used to being alone and you're not used to everybody having to rely on you. I mean, you don't want to give those things up. That's your ego. That's your identity. That's who you are. And if you don't want to recreate a new life, then you better not leave. You're going to be lonely? No,
yeah.
I don't want to hear anything that follows the words I just, because they show no thought.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a way of sort of backing off. I just want, and everybody always says something very positive, but they don't mean it. Let's be honest. You don't want to be alone, and you don't want to not have people need you.
Yeah, but I'm not comfortable in my own home anymore.
It doesn't matter. You can figure out a way to be more comfortable. You can spend more time in the flower beds. You can read more. There are things you can do to make it more peaceful. Turn on music in the house. There are things you could do to make it more peaceful, which don't have you sacrificing what's most important to you.
Isn't that a toxic environment to have a grandchild and a child, even though adults, still living under?
I don't listen to psychobabble crap like toxic. If it's not a waste dump out there with chemicals in it, I don't listen to that word being used.
I understand. I just don't want to emotionally damage her or...
It's done already. It's done already. It's done already. Whether you contributed to it or not, it's done already.
And I guess it's irreparable.
See? Well, nothing's going to change when nothing changes, when people have to swim. It's amazing how they can learn to paddle. But when they don't have to swim, they don't bother. So the only option we ever have for change is to be challenged. But for you to let these people go would kill you.
It would, and I've been in a quandary about the decision to stay or go. But
right,
that's
what I'm talking about. If you go in a circle again, I'll hang up on you.
Oh, don't, please.
I will hang up. I'm telling you right now, I don't tolerate circles.
I know.
I'm making it very clear to you that your life will be miserable and difficult if you leave or throw them out.
I agree.
You have to be willing to have a new life, a whole new identity. That's what you need to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Can I, Sherelle, reinvent myself? And at 54, the answer might be no, that you don't want to.
True.
That you'll suffer this out rather than take on those challenges. I'm just trying to bring truth to your thinking, because people throw stuff around like, yeah, well, that's what I really want. Nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You haven't thought it through. You'd have to think through. You'd have to sell wherever you're living. Everybody else would have to fend for themselves, and you'd have to figure out a whole new life totally alone and go through what that would be on a daily basis.
I totally agree. I guess I need to hear the voice of reason.
Good. And then ultimately the decision is yours. My number 1-800-375-2872. Leah, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Laura, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have not spoken to my 27-year-old daughter for about a year now.
Because?
She found out that I had opened a credit card, and she thought it was her business, and I told her it wasn't. And she came into my house, and I blocked her from getting into my office. And she beat the holy hell out of me. And when she left, I made the decision at that time I had to get out of town. So I packed up and moved.
So you did not call 911 and have her arrested for assault and battery?
911 was called, but
good.
I chose not to press charges because I did not want her to lose her job.
That was a very stupid decision.
Yes, ma'am, I know that now.
Okay, why do you know it now? What happened that you know it now?
Because I've had a lot of time to sit and think about what happened, what went down. Wasn't the first time.
I wouldn't have thought so.
The worst time.
Well, the next time she could kill you, so if you're thinking about trying to open the door, that would be the second stupid thing you'd do.
Well, I won't open the door now, but I would like to. I wrote her a 6-page letter.
Finish the.
I have.
Don't send a letter. Don't send a letter. Don't. Please. She's a dangerous person. And I don't care what kind of guilt you feel.
I feel guilt because I have schizoaffective disorder.
Feeling guilt should not make you do stupid things. Feeling guilt about whatever it is shouldn't be your excuse for doing something stupid. There
well,
are plenty of kids.
Like I gave her a bad childhood with my.
There are plenty of kids with
illness.
Bad childhoods who went on to become physicians and astronauts and teachers and healthy, reasonable people. I guess you got to read more.
I used to read a lot.
Well, then you'd know this.
But I've just been trying to. You know, at least get a conversation started and...
Okay, I since you don't want to listen to me, there's no point in our continuing this discussion.
So just let
I understand
go.
Your guilt. I understand your guilt. It's irrational. Her choices in life are hers, not yours. She's dangerous. It would be very stupid for you to let her know where you are, much less take any responsibility. For her actions.
Well, I moved to a really small town about 4 hours away.
Okay, ma'am,
so,
don't send any
yes,
letters,
ma'am.
Don't send any texts, don't send any emails, don't make any phone calls, don't do anything that would let her know where you are. Don't apologize, don't open up a discussion, zero. Make believe she was hauled away to a distant planet by aliens.
Okay, I'll just have to do more meditation and...
Yes. Yes, and community service. Right. So you can feel better about yourself because she's dangerous no matter who she is. My number, 1-800-375-2872. We're going to take a break. Come back with your calls.
This is the Dr. Laura program. Call 1-800-DR-LAURA or 1-800-375-2872.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. The number here for whatever is fretting you, 1-800-375-2872. When it comes to meat, quality matters. I made the switch to ButcherBox. It's convenient. It's great. ButcherBox is delivered right to your door every month. Their meat is guaranteed to be humanely raised, no antibiotics, no hormones, ever. ButcherBox beef, grass-fed, grass-finished. The chicken is organic, free-range. Their heritage bred pork, raised to keep all their fat and flavor. And now, they have wild Alaskan sockeye salmon. ButcherBox sources their pure, sustainably harvested salmon from Bristol Bay, Alaska, with cuts and quality that are impossible to find in stores. ButcherBox also comes at a competitive price with free shipping included. For delicious, high-quality meat, nothing compares to ButcherBox. And for a limited time, ButcherBox is offering my listeners 2 pounds of wild Alaskan sockeye salmon plus $20 off your first box when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/Dr. Laura. So don't miss this limited time offer. 2 pounds of wild Alaskan sockeye salmon plus $20 off at ButcherBox.com/Dr. Laura. Lynn, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
My
husband and I are trying to decide whether to move across the country, if it's worth the risk of losing our friendships and our home where we currently live at our age.
Okay, that's not a risk. That's a fact.
Yeah.
That's not a risk.
Yeah, that's true.
So risk doesn't apply. You would give up those friendships for the most part and make new ones.
Yeah. And I guess we're concerned at our age if that's a smart thing to do, you know, because we have
There's nothing stupid about it. I mean, between now and dead, you're allowed to have adventures, new experiences, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing stupid about this.
Do you think, and that's encouraging.
My dear Lynn, you can always move back.
That's right.
This is not irrevocable.
Yeah.
It's an adventure.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Yeah. So have an adventure. What do you want, life to be boring and just boring all the time? This is an adventure.
That's
pretty exciting.
You only have one life, and you know, why not see what's out there?
You know, and if you believe in reincarnation, you could come back as a turtle. So,
well, that'd be okay too. That might be fun.
That would take you 20 minutes to go 3 inches. I don't think that'd be fun.
I guess it depends on what you see, but yeah.
Okay. You'd be seeing it for a long time.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your advice.
All right. Well, yeah, I gave you advice. I just gave reflection. My number, 1-800-375-2872. Bonnie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Laura. I've been listening to you for about 2 years, and quite often really struck by what you're saying.
Thank you.
So my question is about forgiveness and family dysfunction when a mother is dying. I am one of...
Okay, stop. Before you go on, because somebody is dying, you don't give them forgiveness because they're dying. You give somebody forgiveness when they take responsibility for what they've done. They have true remorse. They try to repair it, and they do something not to make it happen again, not just because they're dying. Now, you can be nice and hang out, but forgiveness is a very sacred thing, and you don't just give it out because somebody's dying.
Okay. What about the dying person asking forgiveness of her children?
Well, didn't I just go through the four R's? I'll do them again.
No, I love them. You said you don't.
If the person takes responsibility, they express true remorse, they do something to repair it, and make sure they don't repeat it again, which if they're dying sort of solves that one, then if you'd like they have made an attempt to earn forgiveness. Okay. And I guess it depends on what they've done, because I find certain things unforgivable.
Okay. All right, then. So perhaps, so when you have a family that's had a lot of turmoil, and the mother is dying, and you would you'd like
I think
to
I answered your question.
No, no, I'm not asking about forgiveness. I understand that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I said my question was about forgiveness. Maybe I've used the wrong term.
Okay, go ahead.
A lot of bad things have happened in the lives of my family and my mother. We still love her. She's dying. We're trying to take care of her. There could be a lot of good that comes from conversations, but maybe there couldn't. Acknowledging the damage that was done and the remorse that one may have, but maybe it's wrong. I thought it would be helpful to try to initiate conversation about some of the bad stuff that happened that we may never, ever talked about.
Too late, number one. Too late. Number two, it has to be generated from the wrongdoer.
Okay.
Not you.
Okay. Okay, so leaving my mother out of the picture, because mm-hmm. we are very, we are pretty dysfunctional, and the situation made us, you know,
cut the psychobabble of the dysfunctional, because it doesn't mean a freaking thing, okay? It's vague and it means nothing. So let's not use psychobabble here.
Because
it's meaningless.
Okay, I get that. You said that previously. I have six living siblings, some of whom have greater problems than others. We're coming together now because our mother is dying, and we all have very inaccurate pictures of who our siblings are because of the way we grew up and the way we lived our adult lives. And we really, you know, we don't live together as a family for very good reasons. There's components of each other's personalities that we don't want to spend a lot of time with each other.
Is there any of your siblings that you like?
I have one sibling that I have a reasonably good relationship.
Hey, well, that's good.
And others that I have.
Okay, ma'am. No miracle is going to happen.
I'm not
going to all have revelations. Well, I don't know what you're asking then. I'm just asking everybody to be polite and bury your mother and go back to your lives. And if one of your siblings is a reasonable person, then you're very fortunate to have that in your life.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. Okay. You're saying don't try to do any more than
just everybody be nice.
Live her life or finish her business. Okay. Thank you.
Well, we're just helping her in her transition. Is hospice involved?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
I actually do have a related question.
What's that?
It has to do with, so we have all these different family members, but mom is still at home, and she has some hospice help in, but we've now entered the period where she needs more help in her home, and we are not going to be able to provide it.
Have people who do this for a living.
Yeah, but we have, it's a matter of transitioning people in so that she will accept them. She's been very resistant to getting strangers in the house.
At this point, she doesn't get to decide that. If the options are only getting somebody in to help her, then that's just what's going to have to happen. And she doesn't get to decide it. Because if you guys are not willing to just 24/7 move in and do it, then you've got to hire people who do this, and hospice helps with that. But of course, she's going to say no. You would, I would, everybody says no.
Yes, and my brother how do I talk to my brother about this? What's the rational argument to him?
Well, who there
says
is none.
She
no,
has to
there's
agree.
No. There's no rational argument that he will accept. One of you has to be in charge.
Is it the health proxy?
Whoever has that, get a lawyer. Get a lawyer and find that out. One of you has to be in charge.
I am.
Call an attorney. Call an attorney! And have the attorney handle determining. I'm not an attorney. I'm just telling you what to do. Get an attorney, whatever your proxy is. Find out who legally can make that decision. If it is you, then that's your rational decision. I mean, that's your rational argument. Sorry. I'm in charge. You don't have a vote. I am the proxy. Period. That's how it's done. It's a statement of fact. It isn't an argument. Because you can't argue with somebody who doesn't care what you have to say because they want their way, right? There you go. Okay. Emily, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. What can I do for you, Emily?
I recently got together with an Algerian man.
I'm sorry, with a what kind of man?
Algerian and Muslim.
Okay. Is he a citizen?
I've never been with another.
Is he a citizen? Is he a citizen?
Yes, he is a citizen. Yes, yes.
Well, thank you for answering that. Okay, and how old are you? How old is he?
I am 37. He is 34.
Have you been dating him for how long?
3 months.
And have you had sex?
Yes.
Okay, so he's not that religious. All right, so does he expect you to convert?
No, but I told him I would.
You would, because your whole life you've wanted to be Muslim.
No, but I don't. I've been raised Catholic my whole life, but I was never confirmed.
So you would switch over just to have a guy. Well, that's not really being Muslim. That's playing a game of charades to have a guy. I don't like when anybody does that with any religion.
No, I just think that I loved him that much.
You don't know him. You're not very mature at 37. You've only known him less than a handful of months, and you're already thinking you love him and will change your religion. Okay, maturity is an issue here, lack thereof. So what can I do for you?
So we broke up twice.
Emily,
are you kidding me?
Or are you really this immature at 37?
I guess I'm this immature at 37.
That's scary, don't you think?
I guess it is.
You're screwing a guy you hardly know. You're willing to shift religions to something,
like 15 to something days, you do. And
okay. You have a good day now. I don't think you're anybody I can help. My number, 1-800. Let's see. Been screwing this guy. I've known him for 3 months. We're on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. I'm going to switch religions for him. Because I wasn't confirmed Catholic, so I guess I can shift over. 37. That's so sad. I'm laughing, but it's sad. It is sad. At 37. Breaks my heart. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What can I do for you?
I am a creative person. I'm retired. I don't make money on my art. And my question has to do with why I seem to be in a slump right now, simply because I did a few exhibits and have an Etsy shop and didn't get any sales. It's puzzling to me because
that feels bad. That makes one feel rejected. That makes one feel like one's work is not terrific. That's called a normal reaction? Normal reaction.
Yes.
Can't fix normal.
But I'm wondering why it is not enough to have joy in creating.
Well, it would if you wouldn't try to sell it. If you enjoy the creating and then you give it away or give it away to charity or give it away to friends or give them as presents, you'd be enjoying the hell out of yourself. But you didn't just keep it to creativity. You put it in the realm of sales.
Right.
Well, that took the fun out of it.
Right. That's right.
So, forget selling it.
I thought I should try to make something of it.
You did. Gifts.
Yes. Yes.
Gifts. Make a whole bunch of things, go to a woman's battered women's shelter and give out gifts.
Yes.
You'd feel wonderful. You think you'd be depressed?
Yes. That's true. That's true. I messed myself up.
Totally fixable.
Yes. Okay. Got it. Got it.
Make people happy with it.
Yes. That makes me happy to think about.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
I get it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. My number, 1-800-375-2872. Julie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Good afternoon.
My husband has been with the same company for 19 years. He was just laid off after Thanksgiving for the third time. And I've been nagging him for 8 years to switch companies. And now that he's unemployed and he was trying, he hasn't gotten a job. And it's like a self-confidence issue at this point. He doesn't want to apply because he doesn't want to be rejected. But in the meantime, we have 4 kids and I work 3 jobs.
Okay. I'm sorry, was there a question there?
My question, I guess, is can you motivate someone to get a job? I mean,
perhaps you could be the wage earner now, and he could take care of the home and the kids and do the grocery shopping, cleaning, etc. You two could sit down and say, let's just reverse things so everything gets done and we're still a team.
Yeah, I don't make enough money, though. I just went back to work in September after doing home daycare for 10 years. And I work at a school.
You said you had... Okay. Then you got to sit down and figure out how we can live on your income. So you guys got to sit down and figure that out together. I have no magic for you. You guys have to sit and figure it out.
Do you have any tips on how to motivate him to get a job?
No.
And don't worry about rejection?
No. I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to you. And you've tried everything you know. So there isn't some magic. If he's depressed, then he needs help for that. If he really is not employable because of his skills and what's available out there, then he's got to think of doing something entirely different. So these are the kinds of discussions.
Employable. He's got a master's degree.
That doesn't matter. A lot of people have PhDs and are not employable. But I'd have to be talking to him to see if I could be helpful to him. Sorry, this is a third-party call. Asking me how you can change somebody else's point of view, mindset, especially if they're depressed, frustrated. You can't do that. I go do the right thing.